The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it. Weekend editions here. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Elijah Erbel in this morning. You can find us and follow us on Twitter, and always follow Hail Varsity for the latest Husker news at Hail Varsity. Chris Schmidt at Schmidt underscore radio, Mark Kranak at Mark Skurs, and Elijah Erbel at Erbel Essences. Kranak, what's good this morning? How are you?
Hey, sir. I'm going to sign up the children for the JB Club.
Yes.
I'm going to do that.
That's where we're going. I would have spent whatever the number attached to the JV club would have been if Carson was into it. And he went to Fan Day. God, he didn't have two front teeth the last time he went. Now he has giant choppers that someday will take us to an orthodontist. But he's cute. You know, he was cute then. He's cute now, right?
Yeah, it's a good job shaming your son's mouth.
He's not awake. It's fine. if 6-7 years ago, when he went with my father, affectionately known as Joe Papa, we wouldn't have blinked at it. Would it have been different? Yeah, because forever it had been a free thing for kids and for families, and that's been kind of the uproar this week. The University of Nebraska Athletic Department had a thought with this JV club where, look, $35, and it's not just it's not the mother of all cover charges to get in the ultimate club. Okay,
no.
It's a chance to be one of 250 kids to get an autograph by Scott Frost, and oh, by the way, you get access to basketball, to volleyball, to a bunch of other things, sure, which I thought was cool. Well, Nebraska reversing the $35 charge, and kids can still sign up for the JV club.
And now the JV club is free.
It is free with a capital F.
Yeah. It's a tough situation. You understand how you can. It's easy to see how it happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you understand what they're trying to do. Look, it is ridiculous. The line for Scott Frost.
Did you go last year? I mean, you have two little ones. You're a much better parent than I am. So as far as interaction and spending time with kids around Nebraska, Carson will go to games, but I've taken him to one, right? Because I'm working. He'll go with both grandpas and has a good time that way. And he's done tailgates. I mean, so it's not like I ignore the kid on Saturdays, but it's just a different situation than I had growing up, where we'd pile in the family trucks, we'd park in the General Star parking lot, and we'd crawl our way to West Stadium. It was phenomenal.
Sure.
But with you, I mean, you've done a lot of – you've interacted with Nebraska athletics with your kids. You've taken them to Fan Day pre-Frost.
Sure.
But the magnitude and scale of the return of Frost a year ago, it's only intensifying. We're going to get into the prerequisites for a national title for ESPN.com. We spent a little time on that Thursday. But this Fan Day thing, look, Nebraska said, sorry about the outrage. We're going to drop the $35 because some kids, some families can't afford it.
Yeah,
and I get that, but if you're in line, you've already dropped 40 on gear to get signed, right? I mean, theoretically.
Probably.
Another 35 could be a punch below the belt, maybe not so much. I don't know. The outrage on social media felt like the way it was framed was that Nebraska's trying to make another buck off of you, and I don't think that was the intent. I think the intent was to, if you really want Coach Frost, look, it's going to be 250 cap of people, and it's $35. Probably, I don't know that it was going to go to a charity or whatever, but Scott Frost isn't greedy, is my point.
No, it's I'm guessing, you know, especially with all the recent camps and the amount of recruiting that they're doing. I don't know this for sure, but I'm guessing he probably didn't have a meeting about this and make this decision.
No.
Maybe he did, but I doubt it, right? It probably not. Now, if you've been to Fan Day, though, it's such a – like, whenever you go, you can't help but look around and say, God, is there – there has to be a better way, right? Because the lines are just crazy. Hmm. And but you can't come up with a better way. You really – because you're like, at the end of the day, it's a moment of truth kind of thing. Like, you have 100 billion people trying to get autographs from 100 people. Uh-huh. Like, no matter what you do – the lines are going to be ridiculous. They just are. And then, of course, you have the autograph hounds, like the professional autograph hound seeker types that kind of fill stuff up and make it a little tougher on the kids. I don't know. But you understand how you could get into that situation because you're just looking for a gating mechanism.
You are. And what I envision, too, is there is, and it's not a Nebraska thing, but if other programs have a fan day where you meet the starting quarterback, you meet the head coach.
Right.
Sports teams have that fan that resemble Will Ferrell from Back to School, that is in the bathrobe, that has the trank dart sticking out of their neck, that is, you know, the pool scene where he's throwing kids out of the way.
Sure.
There is that fan that exists amongst fan bases. Trying to get better positions so they can get their piece of memorabilia signed.
Totally. And then now everybody has a smartphone, and so you've increased your number of selfies and photos.
Right.
Right? So that slows down the line even more. So you understand how it came to be, where it's like, okay, well, maybe if we just, let's have everybody join the JV club, and the JV club's great value. Like, I don't think the decision makers there considered the fact that it would look really bad. And it did, because as soon as it came out that that's what they were going to do, like when you first saw it, I don't know about you, my response was not outrage.
No, I was like, that makes sense. They got to kind of shave down the access. It's kind of a supply and demand thing, and it's money. Things aren't free in this world.
At the same time, though, when you saw that, something went off in your head to say, but something about that ain't right. Like, I don't know what it is exactly, but it's just sort of.
It was different.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, this different. Is, I don't know, something about that, not very cool. But I didn't spend, did you spend more than 5 seconds thinking about it, though?
No, I didn't. I didn't blink. If Carson would text me and say, Daddy, I really want to go to Fan Day this year, be all right, we'll make something work. We'll figure out the $35. And go that route. I want to bring Elijah in here. Did you do Fan Day as a kid?
Never.
Never?
Actually, no. I was always, especially whenever I really did like Nebraska football, into elementary school through middle school, it was always
the Sioux years?
Yeah, the Sioux years. I always had football practice. I had midget football. I had better things to do. Never
you
actually.
You weren't an autograph guy.
I didn't want to go stand out in 100-degree heat for some autographs.
Yeah, it's brutal. Yeah,
I had two fan days I remember as a kid. One was 83. My dad took me down there, and it was a scoring explosion years. Fryer, Gill, Rozier, you know, that's the squad. That's like the squad that really introduced me to Nebraska football. And then, you know, 9 years, 10 years old, the rage was Broderick Thomas and Steve Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
And they're still awesome to this day, watching them in the mid to late 80s.
I mean, brought some swag for sure.
That's the dude. Those are the dudes you wanted. And we waited and we got it done. And somewhere I have a football with Broderick and Steve Taylor. It's half deflated now. I don't know where it's at, but it was a pleasant memory. Searles was with us, and he had a really good point about the point of it is the fact you get to meet the people you really love watching. And he touched on him growing up near Denver, where he'd go up and meet, you know, get to see John Elway as a kid because they go to the Broncos training camp. And so those are the pleasant, fun memories. Sure. And then there are those memories where you do ask for an autograph and your hero is evil and hungover.
Did you see the photo, though, where the line was literally, it was like at a campus building that's near the stadium.
Old Avery?
That's where it was, right?
It was Avery Hall.
Yeah. It was all the way back to Avery where we slaved away Kranek.
100 like yards across the field, yeah. The line is absurd.
So think about that. So Frost is signing under the North Stadium, correct?
Yeah, he is signing kind of just adjacent to the weight room, yeah.
Yeah, so in North Stadium, travel 100 yards. So you got that line probably inside the stadium, right?
Yep.
And then it snakes outside all the way to Avery Hall in South Stadium. Mm-hmm. Frost could sit there and sign probably. There's enough demand. He could probably spend 8 hours and then be wrapped up.
I don't know. I don't know that 8 hours would do it. I think 80 is more appropriate.
Yeah. Just the line itself is ludicrous. And so think about so you have this fan day. And why do you do fan day? To connect with the fans, mm-hmm. to make them happy.
Say thank you.
You actually end up because of that line situation pissing off a lot of fans.
They don't get to you.
Yeah, you don't mean to. Like that's, and there's nothing you could really do about it cuz Frost has to, eat and sleep, like see his family and Frost, coach a team. Like
Frost
he can't
has to go home at some point.
Yeah, he can't just sit there and sign autographs.
It's not Costanza where he sleeps under his desk because there's still 7,000 in line.
So what do you do in that situation?
Well,
what do you do when you're
signing?
Like,
he's signing prints, 8x10 prints, 1,000 of them. So there will be at least 1,000 kids. If you don't get to meet Frost, you'll still get an autograph of him. You know what kind of torqued me off was in both local news channels did a great job with the package and the story, right? It led one station's news and it was pretty high up in the pecking order. I know I know that there's Iran and I know the G20 is going on and I know there are presidential debates happening, but the fan day experience cannot be dampened.
Tops the news.
But
top story.
The thing is the footage I saw, the B-roll, and I know one of the characters that was in line, and he was dressed up in some superhero outfit. He used to work, he may still work, at a gas station near where we used to live. And the guy would card me every other day. Okay? I'm just like, what are you doing? Sorry, that's an aside. But he's there just kind of looking and acting like a jackwagon. And you could just see the expression on Frost's face, like, here you go, dude. I mean, and there's probably a backpack full of crap that needed to get signed last year.
Let's see. Yeah.
And other people are having jerseys signed, and I get that we've got a Husker Den in about every other home, and I think that's awesome. I love the fans. We are very thankful for them. But I saw very few children. Mm-hmm. Ages 6 months to 2 years on Santa's knee with the picture getting the football signed. I saw more adults.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so you run into that issue and you're like, okay, how do we not end up pissing off our fans by leaving like 500 of them hanging when Frost has to leave, or 1,000 or however many it was. And so you come up with that. And it's like, but now you're basically charging $35. You're making it a haves and have not situation.
Right.
So regardless, you're in a tough spot no matter what. I think no matter what you decide, somebody's getting left out. Mm. They just are. Like, people are going to get left out. And so they try to do it to skew it towards
the kids.
Okay, at least this guarantees this is for children, right? Yeah, you can't charge $35. So the response that they had,
I would have charged $135. Let's really weed out.
Well, yeah, then it's all just the rich kids. Come on, you can't do that. You're not being serious. Chris,
I'm half serious.
Oh, come on. So now you put a premium on it. And it's like, okay, only rich kids can meet Frost.
No, that wouldn't be very nice.
You can't do that. You can't do that either.
How about 200?
If you donate it to like Nebraska Strong, the flood relief or something, maybe.
Yes.
But even that, that's a couple hundred bucks. Like, no. So it's got to be free. Look, I like the response that they had, though, where they're just like, you know what? Because I signed my kids up for that a couple years ago.
Okay.
Didn't renew it the following year, but I will now.
now that it's free, you're good.
They send you a clear bag. You get a T-shirt. Mm-hmm. You have entry into any number of other sports. And like a general admission ticket to a basketball game. And
yeah, volleyball. Yeah.
Yeah. You can take them to volleyball, to women's soccer, to you kind of have free admission to just about every sport that's there at least once.
Right. I like the opportunity to introduce little ones to the other fantastic sports Nebraska has.
Yep. And now that's coming at a time, though. Right. So it's $35, but that's coming at a time when you're now making what, $53 million a year just from the Big Ten? Right? Like just from the Big Ten.
You have a river of money and you want an extra $35 pound of flesh.
Times what? 10,000 kids maybe?
Probably. Is it
from signed up roughly? So if that. And so what, that's 350. Like that is just pocket change to what the university makes overall. So the response to be like, you know what? No. Actually, the JB Club is going to be free now. Perfect response. I really applaud how they responded to that. Sure. They don't need that revenue.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, you just don't.
Back to the point, though, if we're getting down to the bottom line, it wasn't about the revenue. It was just trying to shave off the numbers.
Yeah. Somehow manage it. Because good luck with that. Hmm. Now, but it does get you to thinking, like, should they just do more events? Like smaller events more often, maybe?
Well, you have two signing an option. You have two signing days. Do you have two fan days? Do you have a spring session? Because that's the other thing I remember. I remember going to the spring game for years. And you'd get in as a kid for free if you'd take the drug-free pledge with T.O. at halftime.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I don't know. I was impressed with how they responded. Like, perfect response, really. Like, I couldn't think of a better way to do it. To be like, yeah, we're still going to do the JV club, but we're going to, it no longer costs. It does not cost money. Everybody can join the JV club. Because if you think about it, it's almost an investment in marketing.
Mm-hmm. No, it is.
you know what I'm saying? Like, you're hooking some kids.
I'd love to sit down
in the JV club
with Frost at some point and just okay, Frost, Saban, pick a coach, Coach Osborne. What's your feel towards autographs? I'd love the point of view from the person that's had to sign a million of them in their life.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? What's your experience like as a person of interest and influence in this state where you're out to dinner with your family, if you can get out to dinner with your family? And how many times is someone shoving a napkin in your face to sign?
And you know what? Yeah,
that's I'd love, like, just no holds barred. Here's my take on it.
Yeah,
I appreciate you all. .. But I'd love to know his feel on it.
yeah, and how? There's something's kind of dirty about it. You know, I'm sure they've experienced where it's like, I know that I'm signing this thing.
So it goes on eBay.
Yeah, they're just going to sell it. And so they're basically profiting off my time mm-hmm. and interrupting my dinner and what. They probably deal with such weird stuff like that. Now, something that maybe has gone under the radar a little bit is that the JV club always had first dibs, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this isn't a new thing. Paying for access has been a thing for years because the JV club kids would be the ones who got to get in line first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So there already was a built-in kind of exclusive access thing that sure. cost you money for what is, you know, deemed as a free event. And even that. So I you know, kids are in the JV club. We're there early. Dude, you're still waiting in line for like 30, 40 minutes, even though you have access, even though you have like first dibs or whatever.
You're going to have to bring your sleeping bag and your tent to be the first 250.
Really?
It may trump camping out for Duke, Carolina.
Yeah.
to get seats.
It was absolutely nuts because you're sitting there, you're like, oh, sweet, I get early access because part of this JV club. Mm-hmm. But you're not, unless you're there super early, like you're saying, like camping out when it's 100 degrees, you know, you better have your Gatorade game right as your kids are just sitting there like
melting
on the concrete,
yeah,
not feeling too happy about it. It's, yeah, what a weird situation.
We'll spend some more.
I thought the response was very good to just open it up, make it free, because you don't need that revenue.
No.
You just don't.
No, it's about managing numbers, and we'll spend some time on Nebraska's title hopes, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, and, of course, you've just heard from Mark Kranak. A reminder about your friends at Madonna Proactive. It was hot. It was sticky yesterday. The best place to be. How about the pool? How about the refreshment? How about sitting outside in the sun and then cooling off? Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake Road. Your summer plans need to include Madonna Proactive. And think about their summer membership. It's a destination and a chance for you to cool off. Also get that summer bod into tailgate bod shape with the different classes, strength training, and cardio equipment Madonna Proactive offers. But the summer memberships, find out more information. There's still time. Maybe your youth sports schedule is finally going to wind down, and July looks open for you and your family to spend some time at the pool. Madonna Proactive can take care of that for you, and it can log on madonnaproactive.org. Stop by 56th and Pine Lake. Take the tour. See how incredible Madonna Proactive is. 402-420-0000, the number to dial. And it is going to be hot outside. You can walk on the indoor track, stay cool that way, and get the kiddos to the pool with their outside resort at Madonna Proactive. We're off and running. Rewind coming up with the sporting news is Bill Bender, his thoughts on Nebraska, his thoughts on Michigan and the CWS. Hail Varsity Weekend Edition continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Back with you, it's Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Going to talk some college football with Bill Bender, the sporting news. Follow Bill on Twitter, at BillBender92. Bill, we're, 9 Saturdays away from the glorious return of college football. How have you been?
Oh, I've been good, you know, trying to enjoy the summer. And as you said, with each Saturday we get a little bit closer. It should be, I know you guys are excited in your part of the country, so I'm just going to let you fire away.
I'm going to get there in a minute, but I loved your story on Michigan and the College World Series. Let's go there first. Game 3 tonight against Vandy. And what's this Michigan run kind of meant to you, a guy that's in Big Ten country? Is it something bigger? Is it maybe a starting point of a better Big Ten baseball league, a more respected baseball league, or is it just a nice story that Michigan got to the College World Series and they're in the finals?
I hope it's the start of something more, because you know how the Big Ten works. If Michigan wins tonight, then Ohio State's going to want one, you know? And then Nebraska's a little bit different, obviously, because of the success they had in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been there, done that too. But I think the fact that a Big Ten team hadn't won three in the winner's bracket since 66, it's been pretty amazing. And again, I always tell people, and I think you guys can relate in Nebraska, if somebody asked me, well, why don't they play baseball in Big Ten country? And I said, when I was a freshman, we played a doubleheader in 4 inches of snow and 10-degree weather, and I was finding a new sport pretty quick after that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it does have to do with the weather, believe it or not.
It is. It's. Nebraska lost 19 games this year due to weather. So, it is a factor. It's a factor with recruiting, and it's a factor with some development. Honestly, are you getting kids that play summer ball? But you can go south and get kids that play ball year round. How polished are you getting talent to come into Division I play? How do you feel about tonight? Do you have a thought here? Do you think Kauffman gets it handled?
Yeah, I think they're going to split those two pitchers. And, last night you figured, early that Rocker was on Vanderbilt. It was going to be tough to beat them last night, but I think all bets are off. The key for Michigan, I believe, is the same as the key in game one. Get a couple runs early. Mm-hmm. Get that confidence back that they've had throughout the entire tournament, and go from there. I think it'll be tight. You know, I'm going to pick Michigan because I'm the Big Ten homer here, but I think it'll be a fun game.
Bill Bender's with us, Sporting News, Hail Varsity Radio, at Bill Bender 92 on Twitter's where you follow him. We'll get into football now. And you've done some really nice stories, top coaches. You ranked all 130 Division I coaches. Also, you went down the list of toughest stadiums. I know Memorial Stadium did not make your list, and quite frankly, Nebraska's home record the last several years, nothing to really brag about. Do you get the sense that Nebraska may be on the way back to making Memorial Stadium a place that you don't come in and win at? I mean, is Memorial Stadium under Scott Frost going to be capable of having that same type of intimidation factor that you have at Beaver Stadium or the Shoe or even Iowa City? Kinnick's been great at night for Iowa the last several years.
I think that's the start to any national championship program. If you go back to the 90s, obviously Memorial Stadium was, you know, market L if you were going in there. Mm-hmm. You were going to lose. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with wins and losses, but it's always been a special venue. Any place that can sell out a spring game, you know how much it means to the fans. So I guess to answer your question, we'll start to get an idea for that on September 28th when the Buckeyes roll in, because I think that's the big spot. And I don't know if we touched on this last time I was on your show, but I always, again, as a guy that, you know, grew up with all these Big Ten East powers, so I believe Michigan's gone to Lincoln at night and lost. Ohio State has. Michigan State has. I don't know what the Penn State series with Nebraska is, but I'm pretty sure it's back and forth. And, you know, if Nebraska can score a win there, which will also be Ryan Day's kind of first big game with Ohio State, if both teams are undefeated, I will say this, I'm pretty sure game day will be there.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's the anticipation to your Penn State point. The last two times Penn State's been to Lincoln, 2012 was a 2:30 kickoff. O'Brien's squad was feisty. That was a really good Penn State squad right after the sanctions that first year. Nebraska kind of had to win a shootout against Penn State, got down early. And then Joe Pa brought the Nittany Lions in 2003 for a night game. And it was a throwback slugfest 20-17 type ball game. Penn State and Nebraska haven't hooked up a lot in Lincoln. It's been more trips out to Happy Valley. But I look at Memorial Stadium, and as a student at Nebraska and growing up here, my family had season tickets. I mean, we were there for a lot of Saturdays, man, where Nebraska didn't lose a game. They were approaching that Miami record, you know, the old graveyard, the old Orange Bowl that – I don't know if it was, 49, 50, 51 straight wins. Nebraska was there until Ricky Williams and Mack Brown ruined it. Game day would be such a treat. Nebraska fans would go nuts. Ohio State is still the team to knock off in the Big Ten. Do you see the Ohio State game as the biggest game of the year for Nebraska? There's some debate whether or not it's Ohio State, whether it's one of the West teams that have clobbered Nebraska, Iowa, or Wisconsin. Even Colorado, that's a road game, but that's the second game of the year that could springboard you. Which one would you put the most importance on?
I think the Wisconsin game will be huge, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the Ohio State's kind of the look-at-us game because, like you said, game day could be there, but you could still lose that game and win the Big Ten West. So I'm looking at Wisconsin, because I think they're going to have something to say after a rough year. That's one where they're going to be pretty good. Iowa will be a huge game. Thing with the Big Ten West, Chris, is all of them are going to be big, because when you have a division where six teams think they can win it, and that's with all apologies to Illinois, I don't think they have a chance, the other six do. And I think that's where all these home games become very important. So Nebraska has some interesting twists in their schedule. But really, all six of those games are important. And they kind of, you know, with the crossover games, they did okay. A team like Wisconsin, you know, Wisconsin has to play Ohio State, has to play Michigan. I think they got Michigan State on there, too. So Wisconsin lost the crossover draw.
They did. Nebraska's lost the crossover draw the last couple of seasons. And it is kind of feast or famine with Nebraska with their schedule, because the the odd years, you get the Wisconsin, Northwestern, Iowa trio in Lincoln. The even years, you got to go on the road for all three with Northwestern and Minnesota. I've kind of looked at the West race, and you've got the big three in Lincoln with Northwestern, Iowa, Wisconsin. You're also at Purdue and at Minnesota, and Nebraska's lost at Purdue recently. Nebraska lost at home to Purdue. Nebraska's lost at Minnesota the last time they went there, as Fleck drilled Nebraska. So those aren't easy road trips. I don't know what to make of Maryland. It's sandwiched in between Wisconsin and Iowa. Maryland's had great talent. They've just been injured. So the schedule looks easier. I don't know that it's going to be easier. And when you look at the, kind of these seven games we've been talking about, I think a 5-2 number is where you got to shoot for Nebraska to realistically be in that West race towards the end of the year. Is that too high? Do you think that's about right when you look at just how even the West could be?
No, that's fair. That's a fair number. I mean, if you go 5-2 or 5-1 in the division, or I think 4-2 might be able to win the division, depending on if you get two or three of the crossovers.
So gotcha.
You're looking at 6-3, and then you'll have a chance. And that's what I'm saying. Like, the Big Ten West race is going to be very intriguing, but I don't think you're going to get a playoff team out of it because they're going to beat each other up a little bit. You may be – I think the key for Nebraska, you mentioned those games, got to beat Purdue, got to beat Minnesota, got to beat – I want to say Northwestern. I think Northwestern's going to be pretty good with Hunter Johnson.
You're right.
You know, they're going to play with a ton of confidence. They always do with Pat. So I think, you know, the Minnesota and Purdue games become important to take care of business there, beat Illinois, obviously. And then you take your swing and try to get two of three with Illinois, Wisconsin, and Northwestern, maybe even one of three, and hope that some of them lose the crossover games. You know, Northwestern has some tough crossovers as well. They get Ohio State on the road. So, yeah, I think it's doable. But I would say 6-3 could win the Big Ten West. I could be off on that. 7-2, you're probably in really good shape.
No, and Northwestern went 8-1 last year. Let's spend a second on Northwestern. Why is Northwestern so good in close football games? Nebraska was not last year. Nebraska has not been good in one-score games the last several years. Northwestern's been phenomenal. What do you chalk it up to?
Well, I think they're coached so well by Pat Fitzgerald. I'll put it to you this way. When Northwestern isn't overwhelmed by the other team's talent, and I say that in terms of, take Michigan, for example, last year. They were up 16-0 on them, I think. Mm-hmm. And they end up losing the game because Michigan had just that much more talent, was able to kind of suffocate them on defense and get back in the game. And Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship, they were just overwhelmed by what the Buckeyes had. When their talent level's pretty even, they'll probably beat you because they keep everything in front of them on defense. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a cliche, but they really do. Their coverage, they keep everything in front. Don't give up a big play. And then on offense, you know, they're systematic. They have a system that works. And I think Hunter Johnson's the most talented quarterback they've ever had in terms of recruiting ranking, arm strength, those kind of intangibles. So I think we're almost talking so much about Nebraska, Wisconsin, and in some cases Iowa with the experienced quarterback and defensive line that we're forgetting that Northwestern won the division last year and is capable of doing it again.
They are, and they kind of like being under the radar. They kind of like being disrespected, and the minute you do that is when they punch you in the face, and they claimed the West last year. Bill Bender, a couple more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking college football. Follow Bill on Twitter, at BillBender92. And we've hit on Northwestern. When you look at Nebraska now, year two, Bill, what are your expectations for the Nebraska defense? That's been on, and that's been a topic of conversation. You know, it's got to be better, yes, but define better. What does better look like for you, Nebraska, when it comes to Nebraska and those black shirts defensively?
Maybe 5-7 points per game.
Okay.
And I say that in terms of it's doable, but when you play the Ohio State, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan, you go back and look at those losses last year, those offenses were scoring well over 30. And I know it's an offensive game. I get that. And you're going to get in shootouts with the Big Ten teams that have offensive talent like Ohio State did. But, I mean, you go back to that Ohio State-Nebraska game last year, and they were playing tight. I remember watching it. But the fact that Nebraska had to fake a punt to because they couldn't trust their defense, you don't want to do that on the road. Scott Frost needs a defense they can trust. that they can go win. You know, if they get that, and I would say a 5 to 7 point difference, then we'll see some movement. I do think that's the key for them. I have very few questions about their offense other than, you know, what's running back going to look like.
Right.
The defense, I want to know what they're going to do against the top-shelf Big Ten competition, and that's the difference, Chris, between 10-2 and 7-5, I suppose.
I think you're right. And, you know, 5 to 7 points, that's a possession, that's a score, that's a special teams play. That's you look at the buffer zone here with Nebraska. Ohio State put up 36, Iowa 31 points at the buzzer with the field goal. A low-scoring slugfest against Michigan State. But you know what? You know what Michigan did offensively early in the year, and even Wisconsin, they put up 41 on Nebraska. I think Nebraska's defense will be better. They're going to be good in the back end, and the defensive line will be deep. They're thin at linebacker, but I think they can get it handled. They're just they're more comfortable offensively. There's question marks with center and running back, yes, but there's a lot of faith in the Frost system with him calling plays, and of course Adrian. And let's spend a second on Adrian. Tremendous, absolutely phenomenal freshman year. Talk Adrian in New York City if things go appropriately for Nebraska fans. But what's reasonable for Adrian? And are you looking at rushing yards for Adrian this year? I think there's a little more stability with the backup situation. Could you see Adrian get close to 1,000 on the ground? Do you think Nebraska will run him that much?
In terms of just stats, he's probably the best bet to put up the best stats with running plus passing,
mm-hmm.
other than maybe Justin Fields at Ohio State. And that's, you can win a Heisman that way. Lamar Jackson did that. Mm-hmm. Robert Griffin III did that. Johnny Manziel did that, where they do factor in a quarterback that put – Kyler Murray did that last year. I mean, I voted for Tua last year, and I'm sticking with it. I know Kyler won, but, you know, so if Adrian Martinez has the numbers, which I think he will in that system, Nebraska wins 9 games, maybe steals that Ohio State game, and he has a remarkable performance. And Trevor Lawrence and Tua Tagovailoa are going to sit out a lot of fourth quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Tua barely played in the fourth quarter last year. I don't see that changing much this year. So, yeah, there's a chance for him to be a finalist and maybe even win it. And I know the audience here, and I don't want to get you too fired up, but I've just seen it before with Lamar and RG3 and Manziel, where those weren't national championship teams. They just had ridiculous numbers.
They had insane numbers, and you got that moment where Lamar is going video game every Saturday and Johnny wins in Tuscaloosa, right? I mean, iconic moments, and you have an early opportunity with the Buckeyes coming into town on that Saturday. We don't know if it's a night game yet. Let's hope for everyone's sake it is. That'd be an incredible atmosphere. Bill Bender, Sporting News, with us here on Hail Varsity Radio at Bill Bender 92. Bill, we'll get caught up again. Always fun to chat college football. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me. Let's do it again soon, and I will I'll appreciate it and talk again.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us 2 absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us 2 more. Then 2 more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Back with you, weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Elijah Herbal. In this morning, 466-377-6800. 825-5865. Find us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, at Mark Skur, at Herbal Essences, and email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Love talking with Bill Bender. A lot of thoughts on Nebraska. Kranak, looking back at Nebraska against the West.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, you have not beaten Wisconsin since 2012. You have not beaten Iowa since the overtime catch by Kenny Bell. And when DeMornay broke off a couple of punt returns, that goes back to Bo's final game in 2014.
Jeez.
You are 3-3 against Minnesota in your last 6. You are, man, you...
Man, that's a bad run you just described.
Well, I'm not done. I'm not done. You beat Northwestern on a Hail Mary in 13. You beat Northwestern in 14, you lost in 15, you won in 16, you lost in 17, and you lost in 18 to Northwestern. And in your last four against Purdue, you're 2-2.
Jeez, man.
That's not to mention that you're 0-for since 2012 against Wisconsin.
Hmm. Now they have a fighting chance, though.
They have a chance against everyone I've just described: Purdue, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota. How fun is the West going to be this year? Hey. Right? I mean, have we ever uttered that? Ever?
I know. It's always been such an also-ran, you know? It's just been such a redheaded stepchild of Power 5 football, period.
Divisions.
Let alone the Big Ten.
Yeah.
It's always been overlooked, but everything is cyclical. It never feels like it at the time, but pendulums swing, man. It sort of feels like it's the West's time.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it does.
You know? Look, Iowa's bringing back their quarterback. You know, they're going to be fine. They're not going to be an easy out. Wisconsin is, I think, gradually kind of upgraded their overall athleticism.
They're trying to.
Yeah, add that on top of their already pretty sturdy foundation and culture, and they're going to be fine. Northwestern, same thing. You now have a pretty talented transfer quarterback that was a former five-star. They're as sturdy as they come in the Big Ten in terms of culture and, you know, general performance. You kind of know what you're going to get out of those dudes. Like, you can beat them, but you have to earn it. You know, you're not just going to walk over those guys. It's solid. I mean, it's a solid conference. It's kind of emblematic. Purdue. I mean, God, don't even go there. He's considered, you know, Brahms considered one of the most innovative minds in the sport.
He is, and he's got, I think, 9 or 10 starters back on defense. That's how they're going to win games this year. I mean, they have 4 or 5 starters back on offense. Rondale's the guy you think about, and Sindelar's won some ball games for him. He's not a stranger to that quarterback spot. So, man, I don't know.
It'll be fun.
No, it's going to be fun, and it's going to be ball games that are tight, and that's the kind of the step for Nebraska. How do you do in those tight ball games? We'll talk with Brandon. Go ahead.
Or does Nebraska just kind of blow everybody out?
Well,
like UCF 2017.
That'd be kind of cool. That'd be kind of cool if you're a Nebraska fan. We'll talk to Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine. The yearbook is out. It is phenomenal. Gary Sharp. Coming up next hour, it's Hail Varsity Hour 2 Weekend, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio Weekend, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Elijah Erbel. And give Hail Varsity a follow on Twitter, at Hail Varsity. Get the yearbook. It is out. Real easy to subscribe. Football goodness. And what an issue for 2019. We welcome in, with HailVarsity.com and magazine, Brandon Vogel, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, how's your Saturday? Does it suck not to be in Maine this Saturday morning?
Yeah, that combined with it's not a Saturday with college football yet. And, man, we got a lot of work to go to turn this into something positive. But all things considered, not that bad yet.
No, and you know, Sharpie will give us the X number of Saturdays away countdown.
I'm working on that right now. Hold on.
No, right. Well, okay, Kranak may jump in and trump it. But, you know, an interesting week. I mean, you had the College World Series that ended kind of being anticlimactic with Vandy doing their thing and flexing their muscles, but a shot in the arm of hope for the Big Ten and maybe where they're going baseball-wise. Towards the end of the week, you had fan day policy with the JV club that got reversed, Nebraska walking back the decision to charge $35. And when we spoke on Thursday, you got Bill Connelly, one of the more respected kind of gurus of college football, giving a tip of the cap to Nebraska when it comes to teams that can win if or compete for a national championship. Let's start with Fan Day, and we'll kind of branch out. You have been to a lot of Fan Days in your life at Nebraska. You've covered them as well with Hail Varsity. And kind of set the scene of your reaction when that email went out about the JV club, the price attached to it, and kind of what you were able to sift through on social media. Were you surprised that it started out the way it did with price associated with being a part of the JV squad? I don't have a problem with it. Nebraska corrected it on Friday or Thursday. I don't know, the week's turned into a blur, but you get my point. Nebraska's fixed the blowback. But were you surprised that Nebraska went the route they did?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, it seemed like, so when I started looking at, okay, here's the JV club, like here's what it is. You know, my first reaction was not like, oh, this is, you know, a money grab or anything. I was kind of like, they built this thing, you get tickets to various sports, and, you know, when they start looking at, okay, what are the perks you can put in there? What are people getting for their $35? Like, privileged access to the Scott Frost line, which is insane, is probably one of the bigger ones. That said, after I read all that, I was kind of like, yeah, this probably isn't going to be received very well, because when you reduce it down, yeah, it's just kind of like, well, they're asking you for $35 to get Scott Frost autograph. Like, I don't think that was the intent, but I wasn't surprised at all when it was, that's how it was read by it seems like most people.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. I thought the response, though, was perfect, right? Like, you don't need, I don't know how many people are in the JV club, but you don't need that revenue if you're Nebraska. You look pretty, you almost look petty. This, you know, around the same time when you find out you're making $53 million from the Big Ten alone, right? You just don't need that extra revenue. What do you think about the general response that they had after that blunder?
Pretty good. You know, they heard people, which is always, I think, the key thing. You know, when you look at Fan Day and the unique interest that people have in the football program, like, it's just a logistical nightmare. So you've got to try and come up with some things to make that manageable for everyone. And no matter what, you're going to be, because Scott Frost can't sit there and sign autographs until kickoff of the first game. You're just going to have some disappointment in some areas. And so how do you manage that? Like, how do you decide what's an acceptable level? You just have to cut it at some point. So, you know, I try to remain mindful of, that's a pretty significant challenge. They're doing the best they can, I think, to make the most people happy. And it's just, it's a tough problem to figure out.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, on-the-spot question, is there anybody alive you'd want an autograph from?
No, I don't think so. I'm too old now. It would be too weird. I remember when I was growing up, I was about as big a Michael Jordan fan as you could be. Mm-hmm. And I always told myself that, like, if I ever got the chance to meet Michael Jordan, I wasn't going to ask him for an autograph. I just wanted to talk to him, which I thought, you know, would make me unique and stand out. And Michael Jordan would be like, man, this kid gets it. He's what a great guy. Now at this point, like, there's autographs, I think, are a thing of the past for me.
I'd play golf with him just to lose my ass. I mean, you know how he gambles.
he is fond of that. Maybe that would have been what set me apart. If I was an 11-year-old and went up to him like, "Hey, Mike, Bears -3 this weekend. What do you think?"
Hey, Mike, let's do some putt-putt. That'd be funny. Kranak, who would you spend money on, or who would you want an autograph from, or is that a thing anymore?
I actually grew up, like, we went to baseball card shows a lot.
Yeah, same here. It was fun.
Got a lot of autographs back in the day. I'm kind of done with that, though, you know? Maybe Dale Murphy still.
All right.
Just because he's Dale Murphy, you know?
Knowing you and him, you'd probably rather just have a beer with the guy, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't think he does, though. He's LDS.
Oh, okay.
So we'd have to cheers water or something.
Water with lemon, gotcha.
Right. Yeah, that we couldn't do that.
All right. Vogues, let's switch gears to Bill Conley and the prerequisites. What are your prerequisites to be a title contender? Not Nebraska, but just overall, broad view.
Well, I think historically you've got to be about a top 10 recruiter most of the time. Now, there are exceptions to that. Nebraska has provided some of those exceptions over the years. But that's kind of a good starting point. Quarterback play is a pretty big one. If you can have top 10 talent, solid quarterback play, like, you know, you're talking about national title, you got to be pretty close to elite quarterback play most of the time. And then a defense is capable of keeping points off the board. I mean, I think that's the most basic formula. So you can start there and kind of add things as you go. There's a lot of those kind of, you know, I know ESPN does one. I know some other outlets do one where they have the eliminator. They're like, hey, here's all of the things that the last X number of national champions have in common. And I'm sure I'm leaving a bunch of things off from those lists, but talent's big, and I'm not even a big talent guy. I mean, I know it matters. I tend to value coaching a little bit more, but you look at history and teams that win national titles tend to have a lot of talent.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Nebraska is given just over a 2% chance by Vegas to win a national championship this year. So very unlikely, obviously. How soon do you think it is? Is it next year? Is it the year after? When Nebraska's odds go up significantly and we can have like a serious conversation about that?
I think it could be, depending on what happens this year, it could be as soon as next year. You know, it's hard enough to predict the season ahead, much less one that's 2 years down the road. But you look at what Nebraska would potentially bring back offensively, not losing anybody on the offensive line. If they make some gains on defense, they'll have some key guys to replace there. But, you know, if this season has been pretty buzzy for Nebraska this offseason, and say the 2019 season goes about like people think it would be, you know, the win total came out this week and Nebraska was at 8, at least at 5 dimes, which is the one that I saw. And Nebraska hits that, say they're at 9 or so. They might even be, I think next year's the one where it really ramps up then. And you are more firmly in those discussions of, okay, here are teams that could get to the playoff and have a shot to play for a national title.
I can see, and I think you're right, that year four, year three are years where, when it comes to depth and strength on the lines of scrimmage, because that's where Nebraska's got to get better. They know that. That's a priority to get better, and it's also a priority to get some depth, right? I mean, that's where, to me, that's your tipping point discussion of Nebraska and being a West contender and a West champion and eventually a Big Ten champion, and then the college football playoff opportunity, that door is open for you. But we're a ways down the road, and it's not that I don't think Nebraska is going to be much better, or you're going to see a more polished version of the last six games from a year ago, right? But, man, we're getting ahead of ourselves, I think, even in year three. It's not that the coaching and the players and the talent aren't going to be at a high level. This, to me, is your year to strike schedule-wise because of what you got at Memorial Stadium. And I'm not ignoring what they have on the road either, because I don't think it's going to be easy in West Lafayette or in Minneapolis either, or College Park for that matter, or Boulder, right? But next year's schedule, and I don't have it off the top of my head, but I know it's an even year, which means you're at Northwestern, you're at Iowa, you're at Wisconsin. and you're going to have a little bit of a stiffer crossover, theoretically. I just this might be the year you, as much buzz as Nebraska is getting, maybe you sneak up on some people, but then you're kind of as Bill Moose likes to say, you're the hunted a year from now. So maybe Nebraska's, I don't want to say under the radar or able to surprise some teams. I think there's respect for them, but maybe you just don't know what you got in year two, because year twos are still year twos is the best way to put it.
Yeah. And I think that's why Nebraska is showing up, you know, with these national title odds that it has right now, is it becomes this becomes the year for them to kind of take a jump everyone saw progress last year, despite the record, particularly over the back half of the season. And now you've got that chance where people are starting to identify, like, oh, they're going to be pretty good pretty soon. Well, what if you just go to pretty good right now? You have that opportunity, because it's still in that gray area. And if that happens now, and, you know, you add in the UCF year two, which is always a factor in this discussion, and, you know, it's kind of the only time it will be again. You add that into it, and I think it even bolsters that perception a little bit. But then you get to year three, and then all of a sudden, well, you're Texas. You're 2019 Texas. Mm-hmm. Like, Texas had their good year. People have expectations for Texas now, and you've got to deal with that. You're no longer the up-and-coming team. You're the team that's, okay, here they are. This is their chance to kind of reassert themselves as Texas. And that's an entirely different challenge, probably more challenging.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Brandon, you'd like to go inside the numbers, do some awesome stuff. You know what I've never seen, and I'm just wondering how you would even go about this, if it's even possible. How would you find the data or research the data to determine how good of a play caller somebody is? Or is that one of those things that it's just flat out an art and it's really difficult to kind of scientifically break down?
Yeah, it would be tough. It would be tough to do from a straight numbers perspective, but I think you could start, you would have to start with success rate, which is basically like football's on base percentage. You're looking at every play can be a success or failure based on down and distance. And those teams that were, I think early on, you could see the teams that had, say it's 3rd and 6, and the expected success rate for that down is 36%. You could start looking at coaches that consistently outperform that with whatever their actual success rate on those downs is. And I think that might give you a look at it. Now, you have to weigh that with, if you're that great a play caller, you probably shouldn't be in those situations very often. But you could do that for every play. Like, just based on down and distance, the expectation for the average team's success on this play is X. If you got a coach who's, you know, consistently X plus 4%, well, that might be an indication that they're a pretty good play caller, or they have pretty good talent. You know, it gets tough to really trim it down. And that's always the case with football. There's so many individual things happening on a play. You know, running back's got to pick up the blitzing linebacker, and the right guard got to pull, and all, you know, it's tough to measure all of those things and know exactly what you're boiling things down to, but you can certainly try and get close.
You know, so that all said, when you look at Frost, I mean, you can only go a certain way with the data, and the rest of it is sort of gut. Where would you rank him in terms of, like, offensive play callers in America right now? Where does Frost rank?
Pretty high, I think. And I think that's, you know, I think that's his reputation amongst coaches. For the people that really look at how the chess pieces are arranged, and I would like to be one of those people. I'm not quite there yet in terms of just my intellectual abilities to do that. You know, I think it's there. And so Tom Osborne, I really, in terms of play calling ability, I think belongs up there towards the top of the scale with just about anyone. Bill Walsh would be another one. So, you know, when you look back to Scott Frost's years as a player, that's a pretty powerful 1-2 punch in terms of the philosophy of how an offense moves the ball. And you see the things that they do now with how they're just able to challenge people. And all offenses are kind of going this way with the, you know, motioning people in and out of the backfield, sort of all of the classic spread elements. But what it really comes down to, I think, is the ability of how it all fits together. So it's not just calling, well, this is our best play for this scenario. It's, okay, this play is going to help us three plays down the line, and we're going to continually put people in conflict and make them make these choices, and we're just going to make them wrong. So when I think of offensive play callers in the country, you know, there's not a whole lot of guys that come to mind that I'm like, oh, 100%, they're ahead of Frost at this point.
You know, you mentioned play callers and just the genius of it and the setup. And that just kind of makes you smile, doesn't it? Because, all right, we've got dudes that can bench. We got guys that are tough. Yeah, guys that can move. They're mobile. And here's the icing on top of the cake. Here's this tall redheaded guy that is going to, in the fourth quarter, invite Warren Sapp in on a trap play, and there goes Schlesinger a couple of times. I mean, that just kills you if you're an opposing defense.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's sort of the classic example, you know, of this play works now because of everything that we've done to this point.
Right.
And really, and how we decided to build the offense and everything we put on film to that point, and it's just, you know, fullback trap and away you go right up the middle. You know, one of the play calls I think about all the time with Tom Osborne, and I don't remember the name of it, but 1984 Orange Bowl, Nebraska faces that fourth down before Jeff Kinney's touchdown on the play after it. Mm-hmm. And it's like fourth and six or fourth and seven from, you know, Miami's 40-yard line or whatever. And Brock basically runs an RPO. There's, you know, there's a slant option to, I think, Irving Fryer. It's covered. So then Turner Gill just continues and they run the option. It's amazing. And Nebraska was doing that in 1984. And now it's kind of the, if you don't have RPO in your offense, like, what are you doing? Tom Osborne was a really, really remarkable play caller. And that's one of those kind of advantages that you can't just go out and get, you know. You can get a better weight room. You can get a better strength coach. You can get better talent. When you get to the highest level, that's one of those deciding factors where, like, well, our guy's just better than your guy sometimes. And that can extend to coaching, particularly when it comes to play calling, I think.
Vogues, you mentioned better, and puff your chest out a little bit. You and the crew at Hail Varsity, phenomenal yearbook, 2019 yearbook, Adrian on the cover. Folks will absolutely love this. HailVarsity.com to subscribe. What are you most proud of with this yearbook? And run down what folks are going to get here. I'm asking you to dance and sell a little bit because people need to read it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, so I'm most proud of kind of the depth that we were able to get into with our features this year. And I've talked about it a couple times. You know, Mike has a historical angle on a boxing match few people know about involving two members of the 71 team. I mean, imagine that now.
That's sweet.
After bowl season, you know, you find out that two current Huskers are like, yeah, we decided to have a boxing match, and like, we made it a thing. So that's excellent. He also has a story about a woman in Ohio who's kind of taken it on herself to try and get Roger Craig in the Hall of Fame, which is another really neat story from Mike. Greg kind of went behind the scenes a little bit with how Nebraska builds its recruiting board, which is a really interesting read. You know, we talk all the time about recruiting, but it's like, how do these guys go from just one of a million huddle clips to getting an offer at Nebraska? Aaron Sorensen spent a day with Adrian Martinez, which is a fascinating read on a fascinating guy at a really interesting time in his kind of development. You know, you think back to a year ago, he was just the newest signee at quarterback to now he's showing up on Heisman lists. And what's that look like for a guy on just a random Wednesday during spring football. And then Derek Peterson's story, I'm really interested to see if people get to see that, because there's a lot in there from Nebraska's captains about sort of the Purdue game, the decisions they made after that, the kind of infamous team meeting that Derek was able to get into to great detail with. And, you know, there's a lot of things that kind of get answered, I think, about last season in that piece. So I'm interested to talk with people about that one as they get a chance to see it.
It is. I mean, it really paints the picture. It's an oral history story that Derek did with Nebraska's captains. And you want to talk about the word culture, and you get the breakdown of how it kind of got formed and reinforced with Derek's story. Vogues, you're awesome, man. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning. Great to chat with you.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
There he is, Brandon Vogel, HaleVarsity.com and magazine. Get the yearbook, 855-3-HUSKER, or HaleVarsity.com/subscribe. And bundle it, man. Get the yearbook, get the issues, get the magazine, little slice of heaven in your mailbox, and the premium content on the digital side. It's worth your time and your dollars. We thank you for your support. A reminder about seatbelts, got to buckle up. Seatbelt or windshield? What's going to stop your forward motion? And seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranach, Elijah Erbel, the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, up next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Back with you, weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranach, Elijah Erbel. We say hi to the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, what's good? How's your weekend?
Weekend is off to a good start. It's a fat man's weight loss paradise, a little sweat knocked action. No, I will not be rapping. Plus, it's, what, we got 9 Saturdays now?
You got the number, 9 and counting, and a lot to get into this week, not only with the CWS, but also Fan Day and the JV Club. And Sharpie, you've done a lot of work in your career with promotions and athletes and events. And I got to ask you, with what Nebraska was trying to do, were they that off base? I know they corrected course with the money attached to the JV club, but what's your take on the week that was for the Nebraska Athletic Department with the JV club?
Well, when they first announced it, I could see what they were doing, because last year's line was so long, and there were, when they cut it off, there were still a lot of people in line, and a lot of those were kids. So, you know, I think they should rename it Kids Day, and mm-hmm. they'll keep it as Fan Day. But I like the premise at the beginning, and then it was like, you're separating the haves and have-nots of kids, and how do you explain to people that are not, haven't been alerted to joining the JV club, they show up, and all of a sudden, they can't get a Frost autograph. I think they did the right thing. They listened. It was a good move to adjust it a little bit to give everyone a fair chance to get a Scott Frost autograph. But this is the first time that Nebraska's had a football coach, even Tom Osborne, that was as popular as Scott Frost is. People want autographs. They want pictures with him. They want a piece of him. And so you're kind of learning on the fly. But good on them for adjusting and listening to their constituents and doing it a better way. I don't know if there's any perfect way to do in Fan Day when you're trying to get an autograph from the head coach. But it brings up the whole debate of, all right, should adults by themselves be standing in a line for Scott Frost? Now, ultimately, if you go to some of these NFL training camps, like the Vikings, for example, you have to be 18 and under to get an autograph.
Yep.
So maybe that's the next step in Fan Day moving forward.
Gary Sharp is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. It's funny you bring it up. It's a simple concept, Gary, but I just want you to go into it a little bit more. But renaming it Kids Day, like, why not? What would that do?
I think for forever it's been Fan Day. And if you rename it Kids Day, it's about the kids, because the kids come first. I mean, that's your future. They're the ones that get a big big excitement out of meeting the football players and seeing Scott Frost and being at Memorial Stadium, whether they get autographed or not, they're on the floor of Memorial Stadium, they're running around. I think make it a kid's day and make it, a celebration of Nebraska football around kids. Adults can still come, but, that adult that's carrying two game used helmets to get players to sign, you're not as conspicuous. You're not going, hey, what's going on there? If it's just a kid standing in line and all he wants is a high five a player or get an autograph, or he's fine with a picture that has already been previously autographed, hey, that's what that day is for. It's for the kids, and maybe they'll rename it Kids Day. Who knows? But at least they've adjusted it where it's people will have a better feel going in than they would have if they wouldn't have changed anything after their announcement earlier in the week.
Sharpie, is there anyone alive you'd drop $35 on for an autograph?
Wow. Anybody alive?
Yeah.
That's tough. I used to, when I was younger, and when I was 18 and younger, I used to get a lot of autographs. And then we got in this business where you're not allowed to ask for autographs.
Right.
And then in the times that I worked for professional teams, I've gotten certain stuff signed, but I go ahead and frame it as a memory of working for those particular teams. Well, let me get back to you on that one.
I have bought autographs, but I was, I was under that 18 years of age thing. I mean, I was a huge George Brett guy growing up, right?
Yeah,
so what do you want for Christmas? Give me a George Brett baseball, Grandma. I mean, I didn't physically go up.
I was lucky enough when I think I was 8 or 9, I saw him in Kansas City away from the ballpark. Not at a sitting down for a meal or anything like that. He was by himself, and I asked for an autograph, and I got him to sign a baseball. I was thinking, we talked on our show yesterday about people that are tough to get an autograph from, and you don't see a lot of, because if you go on eBay, for example, you'll see a lot of Scott Frost signed stuff. You'll see a lot of Adrian Martinez signed stuff. The three hardest guys that I don't really see a lot of their autographs: Tommy Frazier,
yeah,
Lawrence Phillips, and Ndamukong Suh. I don't see a lot of those around on signed Nebraska stuff that you would go, oh, they probably signed it while they were at Nebraska.
That's a good call.
Gary Sharp is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Now, okay, Gary, you have $100. Congratulations. You have $100, and you can put it in one of two piles to earn money. Where are you going to spend this money? So you can bet $100 that Nebraska will have a breakout year. Offense will just hum. Everything goes right. 9-10 wins, conference, a division championship. Or Nebraska has a, kind of a middling year that they've had year after year for the past decade plus, where they're maybe third in the division, maybe 7 or 8 wins. Where are you putting that $100?
Wow, because that's a great question, because I've labeled this as a build year. The players have taken off the John Cook line, why not us? I've labeled it as a build year where I'm okay with 8 regular season wins, a top 15 ranking at some point during the season, and then a bowl game that is a nice bowl game. I would probably go with the latter, the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Safer. It's the safer bet, right? But it makes you think, doesn't it? A little? Like the other pile is not totally unreasonable to imagine.
No. And add to that, Mark and Schmitty, if you hear Mo Berry and Jack Stoll talk, and they're not the only ones in that inside those walls of the football program that probably believe this, when was the last time you can recall that maybe players' expectations were higher than fans' expectations? Publicly.
Oh.
Because how many people are saying that are not wearing helmets and shoulder pads that if Nebraska doesn't make it to Indianapolis, it's a disappointment? I think if Nebraska made it to Indianapolis this year, it would be, watch out, now things are really moving along, and 2020 becomes this monster breakthrough year. Because I think the way I look at this more, and now we're into optimism season where even Illinois and Rutgers are optimistic about this season, I think you're going to get in the West Division, you're going to get a jumble of 6-3 teams and 5-4 teams. So the margin of error is so slim to win the division. But I just think there's not a lot of separation this year. A lot of teams have question marks. But if Nebraska makes Indianapolis, I think it's wow. Watch out for 2020. Players would be disappointed. I'm not running into a lot of our listeners or fans that say, man, if they're not at Indianapolis, if I'm not sitting in the home of the Colts in December, I'm disappointed.
Not yet. I mean, I think the Nebraska fan base largely is they're so excited. They love the national buzz that exists. But I think they're realistic that if the guy pulls off another year or two, like his previous year or two, wow, because of all the work that needs to happen to build up. And also understanding how good the Big Ten has become. I mean, there's a lot of factors there. With the Big Ten West, and you're right on about how wide open it is, and it's not that there's six weak teams. You've got six pretty good teams. What team has the biggest question mark in the West right now? Is it Purdue because of what they don't have coming back on offense? Is it Northwestern with a new quarterback? Is it Wisconsin with four starters to replace on the offensive line? Is it Iowa where they lose major talent at tight end? Is it Minnesota with Fleck? Because, I mean, Minnesota's not a surprise anymore. I'm not anointing them by any means, but the way they finished the year, they won in Madison. They won their bowl game. Fleck's got some guys, and whatever you think of the guy, he has got a good reputation as a developer because you got to be in the MAC, right? So, and then there's Nebraska. Who's got the biggest question mark in the West, in your opinion?
I don't think you can separate them. I think everybody has equal question marks.
Okay.
It's just, do you give the benefit of the doubt that Wisconsin will be back to the 9-10 win Wisconsin? Do you give the benefit of the doubt to Northwestern that Pat Fitzgerald every year finds a way that when we get towards November, the Wildcats are sitting near the top? And you go, how do they do it? Minnesota, they got the question of, all of a sudden, Minnesota's getting attention. If they're healthy, they've got some pretty good skill players and some pretty good defensive players, but is last year's November in their bowl game just a, hey, we caught lightning in a bottle? Can Nate Stanley carry Iowa? Can they have wide receivers step up? Can they find a running back that runs for 1,000 yards? That's why. And even if you look in the East without Urban Meyer, this is going to be one of the more fascinating years in the Big Ten because there's a lot of questions. But let's just focus on the Big Ten West. The Big Ten West, I think, has proven this offseason and the way people are spending money on coaching staffs and they are recruiting that the Big Ten West is going to be fun for many years down the road as long as they keep their core of coaches together. Because I can't recall a run in the last 3 weeks that the Big Ten West collectively has had where they're reeling in some big-name recruits and some big star recruits where the talent is being upgraded. And that's great for the West. Maybe if you're a middling team, it's not so great because every Saturday in your own division got a little bit tougher. But we may look at, hey, it may be an anomaly from here on out to go 6-0 in your division, which we've seen in the past. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the competition is going to be so much better in the West. And it won't get the attention it does in the East because of those blue bloods over there. But watch out. The Big Ten West is coming. And, you know, Nebraska is part of that. And I think Nebraska's moving along. Wisconsin's there. Iowa's there. Purdue has stepped up. It's going to be a great season. I can't recall since Nebraska's been in the Big Ten where I've had this much excitement for a division in the Big Ten because you have no idea what's going to happen.
Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. You know, Nebraska's got 18 months of Zach Duvall under their belt now. Does that give, does Nebraska's approach to the strength program, does it give Nebraska an advantage, or does it just catch them up with like Iowa, Wisconsin, and some of the others that are obviously doing okay in that department?
I think that's a great line, Mark, is it caught up being so far behind, and that just shows that you can get a guy like Zach Duvall and the staff he's put together that in a short amount of time, you can feel caught up. And now with the technology, and you know, Zach Duvall is a lifetime learner where he isn't going to settle, I think then Nebraska starts to move forward. But I do like this about this staff, whether it be strength and conditioning or the coaching staff, is all of this stuff that we talk about until camp kicks off on August 2nd, they don't care. You know, they're like, hey, it's great. Great, we made strides in the weight room. But they all understand it's a bottom-line business, and they're judged on wins and losses. So all of this preseason stuff, if you bring it up to any coach, they will blow it off. They say it doesn't matter. What matters is what we do on Saturdays. And I like that approach. They understand how important this time of the year is, whether it be them on the road recruiting, reeling in recruits, or guys working in the weight room or working together as a unit out on the field. But they know that when the season kicks off on August 31st, that is how they are ultimately judged. And then if they do their job during the fall on Saturdays, then all of this stuff, it's okay to talk about. But right now, it's just jibber-jabber to them. What will not be is concrete results when they start playing football, because I have in the last couple of weeks just talking to either players or coaches, guys, that 4-8 season, that is a bad taste on that team's mouth. There were positives that came out of the back end of it, but still they pick up a piece of paper and they look at the record from 2018 and it says 4-8, and that drives a lot of guys to make sure that never happens again.
You know, it's so funny you bring that up about, you know, fan expectations and the team's expectations outweighing it, because you know what? Largely the fan base has forgiven 4-8, right? Fans are kind of over it. You're forgiven, Nebraska. It's okay. But they're still just pissed about it. That's good.
And they haven't forgiven themselves. You know, they're positive to take out of it. And I think when you close the season, you go, okay, last 6-4-2. We felt good. We made strides. But then as you get into January and February, and you're seeing highlights of teams that played in bowl games or highlights from last season and you're not included, that's when it really sticks with you that you were 4-8 and that is unacceptable. The players' expectations being larger than the fans, I can't recall in a long time. And the players' expectations are always high. But when you hear some of the older players on the team say out loud that if you're not in Indianapolis, you're disappointed. I mean, Mo Berry has doubled down. But what happens after you triple down? Can you triple down on a comment like that?
Yeah. I mean, because then it shifts from going to Indy to winning an Indy. I mean, you can get as big as you want with your own drive and expectations, but I love the motivation that you have down there at 10th and Vine to kind of rewrite and set something up. Gary Sharp is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, the Iron Horse. Sharpie, we will talk to you after the 4th. We are off next week, and we're getting closer to it. Thanks for your time this morning, man.
Hey, thanks as always, guys. Great job, by the way, on the Hail Varsity yearbook. I got my copy yesterday.
It's Brandon and the crew are so good at what they do, man. It's just a blessing to be with them. I mean, that work they did on 19's issue is phenomenal. It's so good. So,
have a safe 4th, boys. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
All right, be good. Take care. Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Real quick thought here for your friends at Sauter Heyman. 3 locations in Nebraska. To go visit Rick and the gang at Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion out west in Grand Island. They have interest-free financing options available. Maybe birthday or anniversary is coming up for that special someone. Maybe it's time for you to kind of upgrade your watch. And the Rick and the gang, man, they got so many selections for you. Get there today. Log on, SauterHeyman.com, 12th and O in Lincoln, South Point in Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. A quick timeout. We'll say goodbye to a Saturday next on Hail Varsity Weekend, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
To rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
One final time on a Saturday, Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick, Elijah Herbal. Podcast going to be up on HailVarsity.com and iTunes. Some of the greatest hits from Vogues and Sharpie also on the ESPN Lincoln SoundCloud. Check that out. Kranick, what's going on? Are you in firework mode yet?
Not yet. Have you gone there yet?
I don't know that I'll go. I duck and dodge. I don't spend money on fireworks.
None at all. You don't hit up any of the tents. You don't get tanks. You don't get...
I mean, Junior ends up finding a way to shake somebody down for money, but rarely do I go burn money on that.
There's a guy in the neighborhood that puts on
Dude, I'm talking like minor league, like
minor league baseball Saturday night fireworks show. Good,
if not more so, just smack in the middle of the neighborhood. Just right, everybody's house is in the fallout.
Are you friendly with them, or is
don't know the guy, but it is on. I mean, it is.
You just bring your cooler over and say, "Hey, thanks for the free show. Do you want a cold one?"
It's one of those deals where, like, it can't be legal. There's no way. There's no way that it's legal. But it draws a huge crowd, and you're just like, this can't be. Like, somebody's house is going to catch on fire. But go America.
It'll be good. We are back Monday at 4 on Hail Varsity. And kind of a shortened week for us off Thursday, Friday, Saturday next week.
Yep.
Enjoy yourself. Get the grill fired up. Spend time with family. Kranak, be good. Elijah, thank you. Big thanks to Vogel and Sharp. Bill Bender, talk to you on Monday with Hail Varsity. See ya.